A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's beautifully honest. He admits he's never quite sure which is the least bad option when AliExpress asks whether he wants to pay in dollars or shekels. He's buying small electronics components, he's based in Israel, and he's staring at that checkout screen with two numbers and no clear framework for picking. Option 1, credit card in dollars, but his bill settles in shekels, and he knows the bank's exchange rate isn't great. Option 2, PayPal in shekels. At least he sees exactly what he'll pay. Plus, there's that extra layer of buyer protection. He's asking purely from a cost perspective, which one makes more sense? And he mentions Amazon does the same thing.
This is one of those questions where the honest answer is, you're getting charged either way. The question is by whom and how much. And most people guess wrong because the checkout screen is designed to make the wrong choice feel right.
The familiar number problem. You see shekels, you think you know what you're paying. You see dollars, you feel like you're gambling.
Exactly the trap. So let's map what's actually happening. When you buy from AliExpress, you're making two separate decisions that the checkout screen deliberately conflates. Decision 1, which currency does the merchant charge you in? Decision 2, which intermediary converts that currency into shekels for your bank account? Those are different things with different costs, and the checkout screen smooshes them into one button.
The button labeled shekels feels safer because it removes the ambiguity. But removing ambiguity is not the same thing as saving money.
What's happening behind that shekel button is something called Dynamic Currency Conversion, DCC. Here's how it works. The merchant's payment processor. Not your bank, not Visa, not MasterCard. The processor sitting between AliExpress and you says, hey, I'll convert this to your local currency right now at my rate. And that rate typically includes a markup of 3 to 7% above the mid-market rate.
3 to 7% is a range that should make people sit up. On a $50 purchase, we're talking somewhere between $1.50 and $3.50, just for the privilege of seeing shekels on the screen.
The psychology is diabolical. You see a number you understand, you click it, you feel like you've avoided a foreign exchange headache, but you've just paid a premium that's often higher than what your credit card would have charged you anyway. DCC exists because it's profitable for payment processors. They pocket the spread, and because consumers reliably choose the familiar option.
Option 1. Daniel's credit card in dollars. Walk me through what actually happens from the moment he clicks buy to the moment the shekels leave his account.
This is where the timing misconception kicks in. Most people assume the exchange rate is locked in at the moment of purchase. It's not. When you charge in dollars on a Visa or MasterCard, the conversion happens at the card network's rate on the settlement date. That's when the merchant's batch of transactions closes and gets processed. For AliExpress, that's typically 1 to 3 days after you click buy.
There's a tiny floating window where the shekel could move against you, or for you.
And in a volatile market, that's a real gamble. But here's the context that matters for Daniel right now. The shekel has been relatively stable in recent months, trading near 3.7 to the dollar, which is near its strongest level in years. The swing over the past 6 months has been roughly 2%. So, on a $50 purchase, a 2% move over 3 days is about a dollar. That's noise compared to the 3 to 7% DCC markup, which is $1.50 to $3.50 on the same purchase.
The timing risk exists, but it's dwarfed by the guaranteed loss from DCC.
Now let's talk about what the credit card actually charges. For a standard Israeli credit card, think Visa Cal or IsraCard, the foreign transaction fee is typically 2.5%. That's on top of the card network's base exchange rate. Visa and MasterCard use their own daily rate, which is about 0.5% to 1% above the mid-market rate.
We're stacking. The network takes its tiny cut, the card issuer takes its 2.5%, and you end up somewhere around 3 to 3.5% above mid-market total.
For a $50 purchase at 3.7 shekels to the dollar, the mid-market cost is about 185 shekels. With the card network spread and a 2.5% foreign fee, you're looking at roughly 191 to 192 shekels. That's about 6 or 7 shekels in total fees.
If he clicked the shekel button with DCC at, say, 5% markup, he's paying around 194 to 195 shekels. The gap isn't enormous in absolute terms on a $50 order, but it's real, and it scales.
Now let's bring in PayPal, which is Daniel's option 2. PayPal shows you an exact shekel amount at checkout, and that transparency feels like a win. But the rate baked into that number includes PayPal's own currency conversion markup, which is consistently 3.5% to 4% above the mid-market rate for most currency pairs, including dollar to shekel. On top of that, PayPal adds a fixed fee per transaction, roughly half a dollar to a dollar for small amounts.
PayPal is charging a percentage plus a flat fee. For a $15 electronics component, that flat fee is proportionally huge.
Let's run the numbers. $15 purchase. Mid-market at 3.7 is about 55.5 shekels. PayPal takes 3.5% to 4% on the conversion, about 2 shekels, plus a fixed fee of roughly 2 to 3.5 shekels. Total cost, maybe 59 to 60 shekels. A credit card charging 2.5% on $15 costs about 56.5 shekels. The PayPal route is roughly 4 to 5% more expensive in percentage terms on small purchases.
That fixed fee is the killer at low dollar amounts. It's a regressive tax on cheap components.
Now scale it up to $200. Mid-market is 740 shekels. PayPal's percentage markup at 4% is about 30 shekels, and the fixed fee is still the same couple of shekels. It becomes negligible as a percentage. The credit card at 2.5% costs about 18.5 shekels in fees. PayPal costs about 32. The gap is still there, but it's a smaller percentage of the total.
The credit card in dollars beats PayPal in shekels at every purchase size on pure cost, but the margin shrinks as the purchase gets larger.
And that's before we even talk about the buyer protection argument, which is the one place where PayPal genuinely offers something the credit card doesn't match.
This is the second layer Daniel mentioned. He likes having PayPal between the vendor and his credit card details, plus the dispute resolution.
He's not wrong to value that. PayPal offers a buyer protection window of 180 days, 6 months, to file a dispute. Credit card chargebacks typically give you 120 days. That extra 60 days matters if you're ordering something from a seller who might disappear, or if a component fails after a few months. AliExpress has its own buyer protection too, but having PayPal as an additional layer is real value.
The question is how to price that value. If I'm buying a $4 cable, I don't care about 6 months of protection. If the cable dies, I'll buy another one. If I'm buying a $200 FPGA board from a seller with 12 reviews, maybe I want that extra window.
The calculus shifts. On a $200 purchase, the difference between PayPal and credit card is about 13 shekels, roughly $3.50. Is 60 extra days of dispute protection worth $3.50 on a $200 item? For a lot of people, yeah, that's a reasonable insurance premium. On a $15 purchase, the difference is proportionally much larger, and the protection matters less because the downside is capped.
The rule of thumb is starting to take shape. Credit card in dollars for small stuff where the fixed fee kills you. PayPal may be worth considering for larger purchases from sketchy sellers. But there's a third option you mentioned that most people don't know about.
The multi-currency account. Services like Wise, formerly TransferWise, or Revolut. Here's the idea. You open an account, load it with shekels from your Israeli bank, and convert to dollars inside the account at the mid-market rate plus a small transparent fee, typically 0.5% to 1%. Then you pay AliExpress in dollars using a virtual debit card linked to that account.
You bypass DCC entirely, you bypass PayPal's markup, and you bypass your credit card's 2.5% foreign fee. You're paying the network spread plus a tiny transparent fee, and you locked in the rate at the moment you converted.
That's the move. On a $50 purchase, you're paying maybe a quarter to 50 cents in total FX costs instead of $1.25 with a credit card or $2 with PayPal. Scale that across dozens of AliExpress orders a year, and it adds up.
There's a catch for Israeli users.
Wise is not fully licensed for all services in Israel. You can open an account and hold balances, but some features, like the virtual card, may not be available or may have restrictions depending on your residency status and when you signed up. Revolut has been expanding in Israel, but also has limitations. The regulatory landscape shifts, and anyone listening should check what's actually available to them right now.
The pro move is real, but requires a bit of homework. For someone who doesn't want to open a new account, the credit card in dollars is the default winner.
Even that has a nuance. Not all Israeli credit cards charge 2.5%. Some premium cards, typically with higher annual fees, offer 0% foreign transaction fees. If you have one of those, the credit card in dollars is the undisputed champion. You're paying only the Visa or MasterCard network spread, about 0.5% to 1%. On a $50 purchase, that's 25 to 50 cents total.
That's the dream scenario. But most people don't have those cards, and the annual fee might outweigh the FX savings, unless you're buying from abroad constantly.
Which Daniel apparently is. If you're ordering specialty electronics components regularly, the math on a premium card might actually work out, worth running the numbers.
Let's talk about Amazon, since Daniel mentioned they do the same thing. The pay in local currency button at Amazon checkout.
Same DCC mechanism, same trap. Amazon's currency converter typically applies a markup of 3 to 5% above the card network rate. The advice is identical. Always decline and pay in dollars. Let your card handle the conversion. The only difference is that Amazon makes the DCC option slightly more prominent in their checkout flow, and the wording makes it sound like a convenience feature rather than a fee.
See the exact amount in your currency. It's the same psychological play. Certainty sold at a premium.
Here's what's wild. The payment industry knows consumers will pay for that certainty. There are studies showing that when given the choice, a majority of travelers and online shoppers choose DCC even when they're explicitly told it costs more. The desire to see a familiar number overrides the rational calculation.
It's not irrational, exactly. It's a cognitive shortcut that works fine in most contexts. If I see two prices and one is in a currency I understand and one isn't, picking the familiar one feels like the safe move. The problem is that in this specific context, the shortcut is being exploited.
The exploitation is baked into the interface design. The DCC option is often pre-selected or presented as the default. The dollar option is sometimes labeled in a way that sounds riskier. I want to be charged in the merchant's currency with a warning that your bank will determine the exchange rate. That warning is technically true and practically misleading, because your bank's rate is almost certainly better than the DCC rate.
We've got three misconceptions to bust here. First, paying in shekels does not mean you avoid foreign transaction fees. DCC is a separate, often larger fee. Second, PayPal showing you the exact shekel amount does not mean you're getting a good rate. You're paying a 3.5% to 4% markup for that visibility. Third, the exchange rate is not locked in at the moment you click buy when you pay by credit card in dollars. It's set at settlement 1 to 3 days later.
That third one surprises people every time. They check the rate on Google when they buy, then see a different number on their statement and think the bank is cheating them. The bank may be charging a bad rate, but the timing difference is built into how card networks operate, not a hidden fee.
Let's put it all together for Daniel's actual situation. He's buying small electronics components from AliExpress, typically under $100, sometimes much smaller. He's in Israel. The shekel is strong, and he's making these purchases regularly.
Here's the playbook. Step 1. If you have a credit card with 0% foreign transaction fees, use it, charge in dollars, never look back. You're getting the best possible rate available to a consumer. Step 2. If you have a standard Israeli card at 2.5%, still charge in dollars. You'll beat PayPal and DCC on almost every purchase size. Step 3. If buyer protection matters for a specific purchase, expensive item, untested seller, consider PayPal for that transaction only, and know you're paying roughly 1 to 2% extra for the 180-day window.
Step 4. If you're willing to do a bit of setup, explore whether Wise or Revolut can give you a virtual dollar card from Israel. If it works, that's the cheapest option by a meaningful margin.
One more thing on the small purchases. Daniel mentioned he buys a lot of small components. If you're making $10, $15 purchases a month, bundling them into fewer, larger orders eliminates the disproportionate impact of PayPal's fixed fee if you do go that route. But more importantly, it reduces the number of times you're exposed to any FX markup at all. Two $50 orders cost less in total fees than 10 $10 orders.
The fee structure punishes fragmentation.
AliExpress loves fragmentation. It's built into the marketplace model. Different sellers, different shipments, each one a separate transaction with its own FX cost. If you can consolidate with a single seller or use AliExpress's combined shipping, you reduce the number of times the fee gets applied.
What about the macro argument? The shekel is strong right now, near 3.7 to the dollar. Does that change the strategy?
Only at the margins. A strong shekel means your purchasing power is high. Dollars are cheap. That's great for buying from dollar-denominated marketplaces, but it doesn't change the relative ranking of the payment methods. Whether the shekel is at 3.7 or 4.2, DCC is still 3-7% worse than the mid-market rate, PayPal is still 3.5-4% worse, and your credit card is still 2.5% worse. The absolute numbers change, but the ordering doesn't.
The one exception would be if you expect a dramatic shekel weakening in the next few days. If you think the rate is going from 3.7 to 4.0 in a week, locking in today's rate via PayPal starts to look attractive. But that's currency speculation, not personal finance.
Timing the FX market for a $50 purchase is a fool's errand. Even if you're right about the direction, the magnitude of the move has to be enormous to overcome the built-in markup. A 3% swing in the shekel is a big move, and that only gets you back to break even with PayPal's 4% markup. You'd need a 6 or 7% move to make PayPal the winner on pure cost, and if you can predict 6% FX moves, you should be trading currencies, not buying capacitors.
The actionable checklist for Daniel. Number 1. Never accept DCC. Always decline the pay in shekels. Option at the AliExpress or Amazon checkout. Number 2. Pay in dollars with a credit card, ideally one with the lowest foreign transaction fee you can find. Number 3. Check whether your current card charges 2.5% or something else. Call your bank and ask. Number 4. For purchases over $100 from unfamiliar sellers, weigh the PayPal protection premium. It costs about 1-2% extra, but gives you 60 more days to dispute. Number 5. If you're buying dozens of small components, batch them.
Number 6. Spend 15 minutes investigating whether Wise or Revolut offers a virtual dollar card to Israeli residents right now. If it does, that's your new default. The savings over a year of regular AliExpress purchases could be substantial.
One last thing to think about. The checkout screen as it exists today is a snapshot of a payment industry that profits from opacity. But that's changing. Browser extensions are starting to appear that show you the real cost of each payment option in real time. They pull the mid-market rate, calculate the markup, and display it next to each button. None of them work reliably for shekels yet, but it's only a matter of time.
Once that transparency is built into the browser, the DCC business model starts to crumble. If every checkout screen said pay in shekels, 5% markup, total cost $195, and pay in dollars, 2.5% markup, total cost $191, nobody would pick the shekel button. The entire industry depends on the markup being invisible.
The checkout screen is designed to make you feel in control by showing a familiar currency. That feeling of control is exactly what they're selling you. At a 5% markup.
Now you know the price of that feeling.
No. Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In the 1910s, astronomers widely believed that transient lunar phenomena, flashes of light and color on the moon's surface, were evidence of active volcanic eruptions, a theory that persisted until the Apollo missions confirmed the moon had been geologically dead for billions of years.
An entire field of astronomy was just watching moon weather that didn't exist.
Respect the commitment.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you found this useful, we'd appreciate a rating or review wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. We're back soon with another one.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.